Well, good afternoon, and looking across there, I'm reminded the one of the former Home Secretaries who told me that then they had to address a meeting of prisoners in a prison. They weren't sure how to address them, and in the end came up with, "I'm glad to see so many of you here today." As your chairman's just said, I'm not sure whether going on straight after lunch is a good thing. Like him, I normally have a sort of drooping eyelid syndrome after lunch, and I'm sure the prospect of listening to an MP droning on will only accentuate that. So feel free. I'm used to it in the House of Commons, people falling asleep while I'm talking. I do feel particularly and genuinely honoured to be addressing you today, particularly because I know and I've heard, I've been at the back, the wealth of experience and expertise, and I'd also say passion, that you have for this particular subject. And I would also feel very honoured to follow on the excellent Chief Executive of the RSPB, Mike Clark. And it's a bit daunting, to be honest, to follow that. You may be pleased to know I haven't got a PowerPoint demonstration or anything to give me hints on what I should be saying, but that gives you more excuse not to look up at the screen and to concentrate on what we used to call Egyptian PT, I think, or perhaps you're not supposed to say that. My resignation's in my pocket. As I said, in a way, because you are all so passionate and interested in this subject, it's even more daunting because, again, used to when we speak in the House of Commons, nobody really listens to us unless we say something outrageous. And I'm hoping not to say anything too outrageous, although I'm sure the questions might provoke something. But one other thing, following on from what Mike said previously, I was struck as I came here on the Underground and came off at South Kensington and walked up, because it's half term, the number of kids with their parents going to the Natural History Museum or the Science Museum. Massive queues coming off. And I just thought, if only some of those, instead of going to see, and the museums that make a better effort than they used to in my day, could actually get out into, whether it's the countryside or just into the natural world, to actually see for themselves and enjoy the sort of things that we've always enjoyed, why we like and love and are passionate about our natural environment. That is something that I think we should be doing, and that's something that I hope that governments will take notice of. In this field, I am no expert at all. I'm hoping that I can bring you a slightly different perspective to discussions of the valuable work that the GWCT does. And I'm hoping also to show you how very important the practical research that they undertake, that is paid by you, is to many of the conservation debates that are currently raging. I will tell you a little bit about myself, because actually very few people should know about me, because my whole political career I've made a point of trying to keep below the radar. This is a deliberate ploy, so I don't get doorstepped or anything else. Occasionally something's happened that's ruined it, but very rarely. I've been a Member of Parliament since 1997 for Uxbridge and South Ruislip. Latterly, Uxbridge, South Ruislip's come in, which is, for those who don't know, at the very edge of London. I call it Middlesex, but I'm old. Administratively, it's London, but we are just on the very edge. I never actually had a huge passion or desire to go into politics. I was busy working in the family retail business, but what I was doing was I was increasingly shouting at the television. And I began, it began to dawn on me that nobody really was listening to me. My wife had probably gone out of the room by this stage, and the people on Newsnight or whoever it was didn't seem to react to my well-versed criticisms of what they were saying. But that involvement in politics is actually predated hugely by my love and I'd say again passion for wildlife. I think I can probably outdo Mike on joining the RSPB, A, because I'm older, and because my grandfather enrolled me in the RSPB. It wasn't the YOC then, it was the Junior Bird Recorders Club, and I'm pleased he didn't put me in that, because that sounds an awful, awful sound of an organisation. I went straight into the RSPB. 1964, so this is 50 years I've been in the RSPB this year, and I've seen a huge change in what that organisation, and indeed most of the conservation bodies that we know, many of us have grown up with, has changed, and how they have metamorphosed into the organisations they are today. So I'm neither town or country mouse. I'm very proud of being suburban. I think sometimes suburbanites get forgotten in all these discussions, because you're either labelled as townies, or country, and there the twain should meet. Well, I would actually say in suburbia, the twain do meet. And I can get out into the countryside in a matter of minutes from my home. Actually, the bottom of my garden, lived there all my life with my parents and my grandparents' houses. I can actually remember the days of seeing a grey partridge in the field below that. They've gone, without stirring you all up, but go on, let's do it. I now see red kites and buzzers over the field. But we missed some of the other birds. I was saying earlier that actually, because I've been lucky enough to be in the same place for all those years, I can see the changes that have happened. Another obvious incomer is a fox. Foxes I would see every day now. I'll see it on my way back from Westminster if I'm driving home or going out. I can remember seeing weasels in the past, but they've long gone. So it changes, but just because I live in the suburbs doesn't mean that I don't understand the countryside. A, because I've spent a lot of my time in those natural environments, and some of them are not very far. And I'd also say, now as a Member of Parliament, a lot of my constituents actually have a great interest and pleasure in country pursuits. The idea that suburbanites don't enjoy shooting, and I mean shooting game rather than each other, is mistaken. There are a lot of people that really find to have a break, whether it's going out walking, whether it's bird watching, whether it's fishing, or whether it's shooting. That is how they get their relaxation. Now, in Parliament, for 13 of the 17 years, I've been a whip, which, as I was sitting there at the back, I suddenly realised is probably perceived as the parliamentary equivalent of a gamekeeper. But contrary to popular myth, whips are not brutal enforcers. And in fact, there's much more of the HR department these days, and even business managers than what you see on those terrible mythologies of the House of Cards or whatever. But in the context of what I want to say today, I think my role in the first few years of this current government as Deputy Chief Whip was quite important, because my job there was very much trying to find solutions, getting people together. It might be the opposition, the official opposition, or it might have been opposition within the parties. And actually, of course, we're in a coalition, we still are, and that has its own challenges. But my view of politics has been very much of pragmatism, of trying to actually find solutions. Now, political parties actually have pretty much the same goals, but mostly they argue a hell of a lot about how to achieve them. And that also applies, of course, within the parties themselves, as you will see, you're a very knowledgeable audience, that often is actually where some of the more opposition comes from, within your own party. And I would say that, of course, in many respects, those people who are passionate about conserving nature, about our natural world, are similar. there are different views about the way forward on that. But what I would say, I think it's very important for whether it's a political party or whether it's for a conservation body, not to let the extremists wag the tail, because it's very often the extremists who actually are the loudest. Those people who are more likely to go into print or to go on the media than the vast majority. And that's why I think it's been such a pleasure and I think the word's epiphany, actually, to start my experience with your organisation, with the GWCT, which I think I can honestly say has been entirely positive. And I have to say, I wish I'd known more about your work earlier. Now, it actually all started with an idea that was put to me, and I've thought of for some time, about bringing forward some form of legislation to bring in a close season for hares. Now, to somebody who's not a great expert, but who's been out there, an iconic species, this didn't seem like the most difficult thing in the world. But I was lucky enough, I mean, I consulted with, or was consulted by, I can't remember how it came, from all sorts of animal welfare organisations all the way through to the Countryside Alliance. And I think the most useful meeting I had was actually with your very own Alistair Leake, because he presented me with detailed research that the Trust had done and has been doing, facts and figures which I could understand, which were making you realise, as is so much in life, there is no easy answer to it. But it was not presented in any confrontational way or whatever, because I guess that a large number of the GWCT members would have reservations about what I was doing. So it was, I was able to have a very good discussion. It changed my minds about how we could go forward from that. And then from that meeting, I made a visit up to the Allerton Project. I'm sure many of you, I think you're going to be hearing about that shortly, and I'm sure that many of you have been there, but if you haven't, I have to say I can thoroughly recommend it. I was shown around by a very, very good gentleman who's been working there called Chris Stoat, who not only is an excellent research scientist, but he's actually a fellow birder, or bird watcher. We call them birders because we don't want to be labelled. There's a lot of different sort of terminology things. You're never a twitcher. Bird is good. Bird watchers, all right. Bird spotters, definitely naff. So I would say he was a fellow birder. And I can't tell you how reassuring that was for somebody like me to find somebody who was discussing serious issues that are facing landowners, farmers, so forth, with somebody who not only was an excellent scientist, but spoke my language, so I could ask him questions which he would be able to answer in simple terms for a bit of an idiot like me. And I know there's been a lot of collaboration with a lot of organisations. I know the RSPB, I think, Mike, you're doing something at the moment with fallow plots and lapwings. I think you alluded to that. And I'm very sorry, actually, that I'm going to have to go back to the day job after I've spoken and fielded your questions, because I really would have liked to heard more about the woodcock and the excellent research you're doing on that. But in this wonderful modern world, I'm sure I'll be able to access it. I actually could find out what was going on in this conference earlier through the wonderful world of Twitter, actually. So I could have looked like I'd sat in the back and known what was going on in earlier talks, because it was been going out while you're all sitting here. While I'm on about social media, one of the things that has concerned me is actually there is a danger of that now, of whether it's political parties, conservation organisations, or whoever, falling behind, because it moves on such a pace. And this actually is why one of the reasons that I also have spoken to the GWCT, and that is about I'm going to mention them, probably the most contentious issue that is being discussed in bird-watching circles, and I think would be saying here too, and that is of hen harriers. And again, I think there is a danger that some of the discussion is being held without some of the full facts. There are no easy answers, but I was present yesterday at a very constructive meeting in the House of Commons, which GWCT sponsored. There was RSPB there, there were some other people I've recognised who were there yesterday. And I don't actually think that the gap is that wide. There are a few things, but I am very encouraged because I think a solution is not far off. And I think the detailed research from places like Langholm and others are very important to make sure that people understand what's going on. And I would say, I think there's a few people here from various media outlets. You too have an important role to make sure that you get the facts and figures out in an understandable way to the general public. Because I was saying earlier, in many respects, the general public on some of these issues actually don't have a view. You might even say a lot of them don't care. But if you're not careful, they can be influenced because they might be they might see somebody or other, maybe that somebody they like or somebody they dislike, talking about it. So it's important, and I think where we all come together, and that's why it's so good to see and hear the RSPB at your conference today, is because actually there is a huge amount of common ground, and that's what's got to be done. Of course, it, as in Parliament, there's not always going to be immediate resolution of these problems, but one of the things that is important is everybody sitting down and talking about it. Now, I think the GWCT, I still want to call it Game Conservancy, because I did hear about it when I was a little boy, as a marvellous opportunity with its track record of serious, well-informed research. And I have to also pay tribute to your chief executive, Theresa Dent, because I think she's providing excellent leadership at a time when you need it, particularly. And its membership is important because you're going to help the funds that is going to be at the forefront of conservation. Now, really, just to conclude, I would say, in the same way that I felt powerless shouting at the TV all those years ago, you cannot rely on your work being read and digested by the people who should be doing so. There is a job for you all to get out there and spread the message. But I'm very happy now. I'm standing down from Parliament at the general election, but in the meantime, I'm very happy to share my positive thoughts about you to my parliamentary and birding colleagues alike. And I think I'll just finish by saying, having returned to the back benches after all those years as a whip, I have a lot of colleagues coming up to me and asking me whether now, having been a gamekeeper, I've turned poacher. I have to say that what I do know now is much more about the real realities of responsible gamekeepers through the GWCT, and I think that has been very positive for me. Thank you.